Eileen, thank you very much indeed. You're very welcome back to the programme. Not joining me on the programme tonight is anyone from the government parties. We asked for someone from Fine Gael, either one of the Public Accounts Committee members, Kieran O'Donnell, Simon Harris, Áine Collins, Owen Murphy, Paul Connaughton or John Deasy. But we were told none of them was available. Neither was anyone from the wider party. No Labour member of the PAC was available to us either, Jed Nash, Robert Dowds and Derek Nolan, nor from the wider Labour Party. So the people who have agreed to join us tonight are Sean Fleming of Fianna Fáil, who's a member of the Public Accounts Committee, Michael Taft, economist with the Unite Trades Union, Gerald Flynn from Align Management Consultants, and economist Jim Power. Well, we are discussing the controversy surrounding the establishment costs of Irish Water again tonight. An overall cost of €180 million, €85 million of which is being paid to consultants. Also thrown into the controversy mix are bonuses to Irish Water staff and, most crucially, the level of knowledge of Minister Phil Hogan about the whole thing. Executives from Irish Water, officials from the Department of the Environment and the Commissioner for Energy Regulation were all summoned before the Oireachtas Public Accounts Committee this evening. But Phil Hogan did not address the Dáil as had been expected tonight. He sent his junior minister, Fergus O'Dowd, instead. We'll hear from the Dáil later. First, though, to the Public Accounts Committee. And it was 90 minutes into its work before any member asked the department's Secretary-General, Geraldine Tallon, if her boss, Minister Hogan, knew about the level of consultancy fees. And that member was Sinn Féin's Mary Lou MacDonald.
You see, in March 2013, whether you thought it was a ceiling or otherwise, you knew that the figure was somewhere in the region of 50 million. That was the, you had that. The minister knew nothing about that. It's now January 2014, and it seems the minister had to hear it on RTE, courtesy of Sean O'Rourke, that was the figure. Now, could you explain that to me, please, Ms. Tallon? How your minister knew nothing about this?
I don't think it's reasonable for you, Deputy, to say our minister knew nothing about it. That's not a reasonable deduction to make. First of all, our minister...
It's his deduction, Ms. Dunn.
No. Our minister understood the broad figure very clearly. Back in December, when that was agreed. Our minister was then involved in the question of the NPRF loan and the assessment of that during the following year. Our minister was aware of New Era involvement mm-hmm. in the assessment of this. Our minister received a submission from us and sought agreement from other concerned ministers in relation to the approval of that loan. Minister for Finance, Communications, Energy and Natural Resources and Public Expenditure and Reform. You've got to bear in mind, Deputy, the context here as well, that the management of the funding for Irish Water was one part of a very large project. Mm-hmm. And that very large project was being overviewed by government and by ministers on a regular basis.
Ms. Tallon, did you make the minister, Minister Hogan, aware in March 2013 when you had established the figure of 50 million in respect of consultancy costs? Was the minister made aware of that figure?
I didn't speak to the minister in specific terms about that figure, no.
You did not make the minister aware of that figure?
Not in those, we didn't speak to the minister in specific terms.
What do you mean by that, in specific terms?
I mean the
translate that from.
I mean the minister was aware of the 180 million overall, 150 plus
the 30 million,
plus the 30 million constituent part of that. Minister was aware of how those costs broke down in terms of the costs that might be viewed as one-off costs. minister was aware that the majority of the costs related to the establishment of new systems. So the minister had a broad understanding at that stage of what was involved in the overall cost provision.
So, Ms. Tallon, I need to say this to you. You are saying to us, therefore, that the minister was clearly aware of the establishment budget. The minister was aware of the constituent parts of that budget. The minister, it seems, was aware of everything, according to you, bar the spend in respect of consultancy services. That's what I hear you saying.
The minister didn't have any involvement as far as the specific spend was concerned on any ongoing basis, because this was not a spend that was being sanctioned as such by the department.
Well, I'll come to that in a moment, but can I put it to you? I'm sure you can appreciate my scepticism, and I'm very sceptical around the scenario. I have to say, with the greatest of respect to both of you ladies, in terms of the scenario that you've painted up there, highly sceptical. Unless, of course, you regard it as micromanagement, the fact that 50 million is spent on external consultants, because that's your minister's view. That's his business. He's articulated that position for himself. But I can only speak for myself. I believe it stretches all credibility to suggest that the minister had all of this information on a project such as this, where there was clearly your antennae were up in respect of the use of external consultants, where questions were being asked by Oireachtas members and deliberately not answered, with all due respect, and that the minister didn't think to ask for that information, or that she didn't think to provide him with that information. I find that absolutely astonishing. I find that absolutely astonishing.
Pitching a bit into policy there.
I don't believe I am. This meeting, Cathaoirleach, look, is about democratic oversight, parliamentary oversight of the spendings of money, and good governance and democratic accountability. I think this goes to the very heart of the issue, so far as our committee is concerned.
Sinn Féin TD and Member of the Public Accounts Committee, Mary Lou MacDonald. Well, we can talk now to our political reporter, Micheál Lehan, from RT's political staff. Micheál, you were monitoring the PAC hearing this evening. You heard there that exchange between Mary Lou MacDonald and Geraldine Tallon. Does it relieve or add to the pressure on Phil Hogan tonight?
Well, I think clearly his lead civil servant has now said he didn't know in specific terms or her words about the consultancy costs. He did seem to know about the broad figures, even though there was ongoing communication between the water company and the Department of the Environment, that the minister wasn't involved in that specific figure. They didn't use the term consultants throughout anyway. The term they were using was outside service provision or something to that effect. So the word consultants, which has caused all the controversy now, wasn't a word that was being used. But yes, they were aware that there would be outside help needed, and they were aware of that from March of last year. And they said there was robust questioning, and the 50 million figure was clear to them at that point. But as the communication continued between the department and Irish Water, it was more about making sure that the costs that were agreed were realised, and that this great controversy that would come around the corner wasn't really thought about anymore beyond that. Consultants were needed, that was agreed, and then it was a matter of just keeping the costs in line, which was the 150 million plus 30 million contingency fund. So I suppose from Phil Hogan's point of view, the Taoiseach and the Dáil this afternoon again making it clear that he himself knew the overall figure, defending the minister, I suppose, and now the minister's lead civil servant in his department saying he didn't know, and also painting the context that was there at the time, that there was the EU presidency and that the minister was involved in a major project, as she said, in reforming local government. So he was busy.
So in some ways it could be seen to relieve the pressure on him. And yet, as Mary Lou MacDonald pointed out at the end there, she simply doesn't believe that it's credible, and at the very least, it could paint a very sloppy oversight and lack of accountability and lack of responsibility from the man ultimately in charge.
and the minister himself saying, of course, that he doesn't micromanage in this area, but Fianna Fáil pointing out that he did get involved at one point when it was suggested initially that Irish Water could be linked with Bord na Mona, that he didn't believe that was a good idea. So that was a close management at one level, but yet when it came to this controversial figure, he wasn't across that detail. Of course, he can also point to the fact that the regulator who was there again this evening did carry out a short review of these figures and didn't have a problem with them. A more detailed analysis is undergoing at that office now to look at it. The regulator also pointing out that if the spending so far hasn't been done correctly, that that won't be passed on to people when they have to pay the bills next year. Nonetheless, John McGuinness, as the meeting is still ongoing, but towards the latter part of it now, saying he won't rest easy until the Controller and Auditor General has a role in carrying out a value for money audit of Irish Water, and therefore PAC, of course, would have full control then to look at the figures on an ongoing basis. So I think there will be calls for more scrutiny of Irish Water, even after these 2 days of meetings. The other big issue today, of course, was the bonuses that can be paid to staff at Irish Water. Tonight we heard that they could be average around 7,000 euro, or about 10% of salary. They too have raised some eyebrows, but John Tierney adamant that overall it will make for a more competitive form of payments compared to other utility companies.
And we'll hear the exchange between John Tierney and Kieran O'Donnell and John McGuinness a little bit later in the programme on the issue of bonuses. We were told, Micheál, all day that Phil Hogan was going to address this issue in the Dáil this evening. He didn't show up. Do we know why?
We don't know why. The expectation was, because the Taoiseach had mentioned it during leaders' questions as well, that he would, but in fact Fergus O'Dowd was the person who deputised and again provided a strong defence of the minister, saying that any suggestion that he'd withheld information that he knew in relation to consultants was simply not the case. Again, making that clear, despite some fairly strong and robust contributions from Fianna Fáil, particularly Barry Cowan, who said this whole episode had brought us back into Gubu territory. So it has been an interesting day for the minister, who, of course, earlier speaking, said that his analysis of the situation was that you can't make an omelette without breaking eggs. The damage and the breaking to his own particular reputation, while it looked serious at certain points, the fact that his civil servants have been so clear in their line that he didn't know the exact detail would suggest that the opposition charge can't be landed on him and can't be put at his door. He has a very, very clear line here as to what happened and how events played out in the department last year.
Micheál, thanks very much indeed. Micheál Lehane there of RTÉ's political staff. Well, as Micheál said, it was discussed in the Dáil tonight. Here's what Fianna Fáil's Barry Cowan had to say.
What has ensued could be described as grotesque, unbelievable, bizarre and unprecedented. We're in Gubu territory here, OK? And when one considers that this body was given 11 billion euros worth of taxpayers' assets, it was handed them on the 1st of January. It was handed, preceding that, 1.1 billion in cash, taxpayers' cash. 500 million towards water metering, 180 million we now know towards setup costs, and 400 million that was supposedly committed by Phil Hogan to the local authorities of this country but was taken off them towards the back end of last year when the rug was pulled under them. Minister Hogan says he shouldn't be expected to micromanage 180 million euro. It's not as if we're asking Phil the price of the new gym down there in the HQ of Irish Water. What we're talking about here is 50% almost of the setup costs of 180 million. 85 million we're talking about. And Minister Hogan and his government wants us to believe that he only asked one question. How much do you want, lads? That's what he asked him. Okay, we have 180 million, sure you can collect it on the way out. And then we're led to believe he went into the cabinet to agree a budget for 2013. And he had a few heavy hitters facing him there. Ministers Noonan, Howland, Minister Clovney, Varadkar, Burton and Bruton. And they had only one question to ask too of Phil. Have you enough in 180 million, Phil? That's all they could say to him. And then last week on Carlo Radio, Phil feigned surprise at the 50 million figure. That's excessive. That's quite high. That shouldn't be the case. Let's check that out. Better call them in and see what's going on. Minister Coveney and Varadkar, Burton and Bruton, they feigned surprise too, because they remember they didn't ask any questions when it was at the Cabinet. Minister Gilmore, the tarnished. Oh, that's a very high price. That's a lot of money. We'll have to check that out. He wasn't thinking that when Phil went into the Cabinet looking for 180 to set up what is the biggest super quango we've ever had.
Fianna Fáil's Barry Cowan. Well, as we said, Phil Hogan didn't turn up to answer questions in the Dáil Chamber tonight. He sent his Minister of State, Fergus O'Dowd, instead. And here is some of what he had to say in response to Deputy Cowan.
There has been a suggestion that the Minister for the Environment, Community and Local Government, Minister Hogan, deliberately withheld details of the establishment costs of Irish Waters from deputies. This is simply not the case. The total budget for the establishment of Uisgearán is 180 million, which includes that contingency of 30 million. While the overall budget was outlined to the Economic Management Council and the Water Reform Subcommittee of the Cabinet Committee on Economic Infrastructure, no Exchequer funds have been provided to date to Bord Gáis or Irish Water in relation to these establishment costs. Irish Water is a commercial semi-state body. It's a commercial state body within the Bord Gáis Group, and all the normal governance and accountability rules which apply to commercial bodies equally apply to Uisgearán, such as requirements for ministerial consent to intercapital commitments and raised borrowing and requirements on the provision of annual reports and accounts. There has been suggestions that Uisgearán is a prelude to privatisation or the introduction of competition in the service market. I want to emphatically say that this is not the case. We have consistently stated that the supply of water and wastewater will remain in public ownership, and that the Water Services 2013 Act specifically provides that Irish Water cannot be privatised and will remain in public ownership.
As Minister of State Fergus O'Dowd, just to reiterate, no one from the government parties put anyone forward for our programme tonight. With me in studio, Sean Fleming of Fianna Fáil, a member of the PAC, Michael Taft, economist with the Unite Trades Union, Gerald Flynn from Align Management Consultants, and economist Jim Power. Sean Fleming, I'll start with you because obviously you were there at the PAC hearing, you asked your questions, you heard what Geraldine Tallon had to say to Mary Lou MacDonald. It's a very clear line. Phil Hogan did not know of the exact amount of 50 million euro that was being paid to consultants.
Well, isn't that the greatest indictment you could ever make of a government minister, that he didn't know what was going on in his own department? Like, I actually think that says it all. Like, he can't pretend he didn't know and think he's out of the hoop. I actually think it's worse that you have a minister overseeing 180 million setup costs of a major state monopoly. The first time we've done this in decades. And the minister doesn't make any inquiries into the 180 million. It is not credible. Geraldine Tallon was very good as a public servant saying, I didn't say that to him specifically. But, you know, Phil Hogan, either he knew, and I believe it's not possible he didn't know, because every week there's battles in the Dáil over small amounts of money, Department of Health, Department of Social Welfare. There's no way you could get 180 million from the Cabinet without specifying the details.
But so do you think your previous ministerial colleagues would have known how many millions were being spent on consultants on the various projects that your government sanctioned and whose budgets ballooned way out of control?
I would think so. And
you don't know.
Well, I wasn't sure I wasn't there.
No, exactly.
But you're asking me to use common sense, which we do in the Public Accounts Committee. We use common sense. I think it's not credible that he didn't know this. But however, let's just assume that the minister is telling the truth and he didn't ask and he didn't know and he didn't know anything about the 180 million. In fact, that's almost a worse indictment of saying he did know and he's not admitting it. For him to say he had such, you know, cavalier disregard to the Irish taxpayers' money, and basically all of that money will be paid back by the householders of Ireland next year when they get their 300 euro
bill. But even if he had have known, and he says he didn't, and that has been confirmed by his Secretary General, What could he have done? I mean, going back to your previous ministerial colleagues in Fianna Fáil, the PPARS project, for example, 9 million euro initially, 140 million. They didn't do anything to stop it.
Audrey, we're talking about Irish Water and the bills next year. You can go back in history if you want. I actually think that people are worried about here now. What could have been done?
No, but I'm asking you, what could Phil Hogan have done had he known that his department, Irish Water, were going to spend 85 million, 50 million on consultants? Well, he was being told these were absolutely critical to the setting up of Irish Water.
Yes. What he has done, the damage he's done, is created a culture around Irish Water because of his actions. He's done three or four specific things to damage Irish Water. One, he made sure it wasn't answerable to FOI. Irish Water said they have no problem. The Taoiseach and Brendan Howlett are now accepting my proposal. I had amendments in on the legislation.
I'm not asking you about FOI. I'm asking you could Phil Hogan have done had he known that 50 million was being earmarked for consultants?
Maybe we could have got better value for money. The answer is, at this stage, the money is spent. The money is gone. The money has been paid out. And the answer is, we don't know.
But
and
history has shown in this country that that doesn't happen in government.
But what we are saying here at the Public Accounts Committee, we want the Controller and Auditor General to be given the power to do a value for money on that 180 million and let somebody independent adjudicate it. I don't accept the Minister's word we got value for money. I'll accept the CNAG's report on that. And we have legislation being published tomorrow, Fianna Fáil has, to bring Irish Water under the remit of the Controller and Auditor General. And we will have somebody independent of Irish Water and of Bord Gáis and of the Minister. And if the CNAG says in 6 months' time it was value for money, I think people will be happy. But at the moment, nobody can say that because there's a culture of secrecy and not letting the Controller and Auditor General, the PAC, Freedom of Information, the public knowing
what
goes on.
But there's a culture of consultants being paid millions, of budgets running way over budget, ballooning under your previous government. It's hypocritical in the extreme for you to be sitting here giving out about Phil Hogan.
Absolutely not. And I can understand you, Audrey, having to say that, seeing as the government were afraid to send out a person here tonight. You do have to put the government line. That's what Phil Hogan normally does.
I'm not putting any government line. That's what Phil Hogan said today.
That's what Phil Hogan would say if he was sitting there. What did you... This is not about the past. It's about the here and now. Surely we have all learned. I have learned lessons. Fianna Fáil has learned lessons. The public have learned lessons. But it looks as if this government hasn't learned the basic lessons of the last few years about accountability and openness and transparency. Okay. They need to learn those lessons.
Well, it's quite understandable that Sean doesn't want you going back to the PPARS disaster with Deloitte and the HSE about 10 years ago, not going back to history. That's why I was amazed that Barry Cowan should dig up the old 30-year-old corpse of Gubu and hawk it around, because obviously a lot of questions need to be answered about these tenders and these contracts. But Phil Hogan and the present government, I mean, there is no way they have reached the zany heights back in 1980 of Gubu. And remember Haughey and Ray Burke, Phil P. Flynn, Liam Lawler and all that kind of stuff. I mean, we're a long way from that territory. But nonetheless, people want answers, I'm sure, on what was actually bought, what tangible things that Irish Water got for the 50 million and the extra 30 million they plan to spend.
And are you any clearer, Gerald, as to what? Because you're in this business. I mean, I know people are saying consultants is a dirty word at the moment, but, you know, brand development and customer engagement was one issue that was raised tonight by Mary Lou MacDonald in the PAC hearing. 4.6 million euro spent, given to Ernst & Young for brand development and customer engagement. Now, it's very unclear as to what that is.
Well, I don't know. I looked for the first time today at the Irish Water Uisce Éireann website, and it is pretty unimpressive. Four and a half million. Fact that Ernst & Young were used surprised me a lot, because Ernst & Young obviously made their name with the Irish taxpayer as the auditors to Anglo-Irish Bank, and we still have a lot of unanswered questions there. And we don't know actually what went on or what kind of accounts they were presenting for Anglo-Irish Bank for 10 years. So I was a little bit surprised that they were amongst some of the favoured people. Obviously, a lot seems to have been bought in the form of software and licences and that. But we really should have a breakdown on exactly what was purchased and now who owns it and how long they have these licences for. And I'm also surprised that all the usual suspects are out there. The big Anglo-American consultancy firms, they're really vastly experienced companies in France and in Germany that we don't hear anything about, who've been developing good municipal water systems and metering systems for the last 30, 40 years. We could tap into their expertise. I'm afraid there does seem to be a kind of inherited local authority culture that seems to be patched into Irish Water or Uisge Éireann. But notwithstanding that, I did think there were some impressive contributions this evening. I thought John Barry was very good.
From Irish Water.
Yeah, from Irish Water when he was speaking at the Public Accounts Committee.
OK, Michael Taft, what's your view on all of this?
Well, I think there's the issue of efficiency. Now, it would be in the interest of Irish Water and the government, so because in a relatively few months' time, bills are going to be sent out, that people are assured that the expenditure has been efficient. The problem is it's already been spent, and I think there's a cynicism, because when money has been spent and when, you know, practice has been unfolded, they are fiercely defended. Whereas people might say, and this is an argument has been put forward, that before you spend something like 50, 85 million, 180 million on startup costs, that you should actually lay out that expenditure and that should be tested. That's how normal practice would occur in like public agencies, for instance, in Europe or indeed in companies. And then, of course, the second aspect is the accountability of that process. Now, that's where it really breaks down, because there seems to have been limited accountability. The question of what the minister knew or didn't know, this is still going to be a grey area. Now, I haven't seen the parliamentary questions that were refused or were refused to be answered. But if questions were put that touched upon the issues of what the departmental officials knew, then there's no reason why those questions should not have been answered, because the departmental officials are the ones who make the reply. So therefore, we can only assume that possibly there was a political directive, not something that the officials would take on themselves, because that's not their role, but a political directive not to answer that question. And of course, that begs further, that creates more cynicism and gives the idea that there's something being covered up. But, and maybe we'll get into this in a few minutes, this could be a prelude to even further complications down the line when it comes to the process of setting the rates. Because if there's not a kind of a sea change in terms of the transparency and the efficiency, then it will be more cynically received when the rates come down. They're supposed to be set by the end of August by the regulator after months of consultation. And then the first bills, or the billing period, will start in October. And there's a range of questions that have not even begun, that have not even been asked, never mind answered, when it comes to that process.
Do you agree, Jim Power?
Yeah, I mean, at one level, I'm not au fait with, you know, how governments work and how ministers actually work. But if you look at this project from the outset, you are amalgamating effectively 34 individual water companies into one company. You're starting from scratch. You give the contract to a company that has zero experience in water, which I find kind of strange. Perhaps, you know, they should have gone to France or Germany, where the expertise exists. But when you start from that situation, the amounts of money in the aggregate that are being spoken about would seem reasonable. And I've heard technical experts speak over the last week, and the amounts of money in the aggregate, as I say, that have been spent look reasonable. However, I suppose the issue is that when we get down to the manner in which the money has been spent, that's obviously where the problem is. So, for example, why does a state monopoly have to spend so much money in brand building? You know, it's a little bit like the government of North Korea spending money in brand building. It's nonsense, because people have no choice. They're going to get a bill from Irish Water. They will have to pay that bill, or their water will be cut off. What in the name of God do we spend money on building the brand, for example? If you look at some of the technical consultancy money that's been spent, you know, setting up billing systems, etc., that's all necessary for a company that's been started from scratch on a blank sheet of paper. Because this
but
is
again, I mean, could Bord Gáis's expertise?
No,
not
I,
d- have
I don't think
involved
I
that?
Don't think they could actually.
Why?
I don't think Bord Gáis would have the expertise to do that. That would be my understanding. You need people with expertise in setting up water companies. The aggregate amount of money that's been spent looks reasonable.
but it's the manner in which it's been spent. And there's no point, I think as Michael suggested, there's no point going back now and getting the Comptroller and Auditor General analysing how the money was spent. You can't unspend it. Mm. It has been spent. But you would hope there'd be much greater accountability in the future about how money is spent to make sure we get value for money. And I think, you know, where this is really going to become a major issue, if the bill payers or the water users feel they're ending up paying for this sort of money, that, I think, is where you get a real breakdown in trust in the whole system.
Well, it's funny you should mention North Korea, because we got a text in from Tommy in Wicklow. He says, this government threw away 50 million euro. They didn't send anyone to your programme tonight. They didn't answer questions from opposition TDs in the Dáil. And the minister wouldn't explain himself in the Dáil tonight. This is not on. Kim Jong-un would explain more than this government. Thank you very much indeed for that, Tommy. And yes, to reiterate, no one from the government agreed to take part in our programme tonight. Well, as we know, the PAC hearing started at around 6:45. It was still ongoing about 20 minutes ago. Independent TD Shane Ross is on the PAC. He made his contribution just before 10 o'clock and he wondered to John Barry of Irish Water about the names of the firms which won the tenders to provide the consultancy services.
If you ask me blind about these consultants and you said you'd got so many lots to go round, and I closed my eyes and I said, who do I think they'll give it to? I'd say KPMG, Ernst & Young, PwC, Arthur Cox, NL Goodbodies, and all the ones. And, you know, abracadabra, they win the tender. Can you explain that to me? These are the guys who won all the tenders from the government and the banking and got it all wrong. There are Ernst & Young, who cost the state a fortune by not warning about Anglo. These are all the usual suspects turning up. And they win the tender again. How does that happen?
I can assure you, Deputy, that the process that we ran for these tenders was absolutely robust and fair to all of the bidders. And I believe we got good value for money. And the reason you see such a high legal bill from Goodbodies is that we had legal sitting all over the tender process to be sure we were compliant and that we were getting that the process was fair and that we got the best result for the establishment costs.
What do you weight in then? You've got your weights, which gave us up to you. For those people who have put in utterly disastrous performances for this state in the past, in the recent past, when they're tendering. What weightings do you give for that?
We don't give any.
So they've got to...
We set up a pre-qualification criteria and we invite expressions of interest and people express interest. Then we assess their submissions based on the qualification criteria that we set out. And if they pass that basic qualification criteria, then we ask them to bid.
Do you not consider the fact, ever, PwC, KPMG and Ernst & Young have a heavy responsibility for exactly the state that this state is in at the moment?
I'm not going to comment on that.
You're asking me,
did we follow a fair process? I say we did. And we followed a rigid process, pre-qualification and tender process.
But it's
and we judged them on the submissions they made in terms of what we wanted.
So it doesn't matter that they have a deplorable record and they have a lot to answer for the economic state of this country, for their past performance for government semi-states, for the Department of Finance and for banks. That doesn't count.
We followed the procurement regulations.
Does it not matter that was what happened?
But with respect, I have been questioned last night and in here this morning, this evening, and am I following procurement regulations? And the regulations will state that I cannot discriminate. I can only judge on what's put in front of me in terms of their submissions. And if they meet the criteria, they bid.
You don't discriminate because you can't forbid them from applying. But you can certainly bear in mind the fact that, for instance, Ernst & Young were removed from the Anglo-Irish Bank audit because they failed to flag the dangers there, and that you're now re-employing them and giving £4.6 million for something you can't even explain at the moment.
But David, I reiterate, you know, we follow the procurement guidelines. If they meet the pre-qualification criteria, I cannot exclude them.
No, you can't exclude. I'm not asking you to exclude them. I'm asking let them put in their applications, but then ask them questions about what happened in the past, and then eliminate them.
But that's not part of the process.
I know. It's a pity. It's not part of the process. That's the problem.
That's independent TD Shane Ross. And that's the point you were making earlier on, Gerald Flynn, about the names, the same names keep cropping up.
They do, and I suppose Deputy Ross is correct to one extent. I mean, there are so many unanswered questions with regard to, you know, Pricewaterhouse and Bank of Ireland, KPMG with AIB and National Irish and that. And, you know, 6 years after the crash, we still haven't any satisfactory answers. And that's obviously going to annoy a lot of politicians and even more citizens.
And can a track record be taken into
account? Not really. No. And you see, Irish Water is part of Irish Gas and it's very engineer driven. And they're focused on process and technology. And the same in the tender, they're focused on the process. They're not really customer-focused type of people. They wouldn't ask some of the questions I'd be inclined to ask. And they're not really coming in prepared and saying, this is what we bought for our 50 million. The 50 million, as Jim Parr says, may be good value, but we don't know what they actually got. They need to open the bag and show us. And if it's a pig in a poke or if it's actually jewels that they got, we just don't know. And until we know that, we can't really make an assessment. The procurement, it still struck me as a little bit odd, given the little bit I know about utility services in Europe and the fact that the French have actually moved into Britain and brought a lot of their expertise there, that I didn't see more French names and German names or Dutch names. Even Waven Pipes that were here in the water business, they were part of a Dutch municipal water company that set up in Balbriggan. And it just looks a little bit too cosy. The same legal firms, the same accountancy firms, that we have come to know and love over the last 20 or 30 years. And I think that will ring a bell with people. The other thing about just being customer focused, as an aside, last August I had a plumber coming in to fit a new boiler. And I asked him if he could fit a water meter, because I believe in water metering. I think it's a very good idea. And I priced about €120 to get a top level European standard water meter that can be remotely read. And I rang the controller or the regulator, and they haven't set any prices or anything. They said they haven't even set a standard for the water meter. I rang Irish Water and I said, if I get the plumber to put in the water meter, it'll cost me about €120.50 to get it in. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Would I have to pay it on my bill then each year? And they said, when our guys come round, if you've your meter in there, they'll take it out and they'll put in our meter. Now, what we don't know is how we're going to be charged. We may well be charged up to 15, 20 euros a year to pay off that meter for the next 30 years, just like my parents or people's grandparents had to do with old Bakelite telephones from Post and Telegraphs from the 1950s to the 1980s. We need to get answers to all these things. Yeah. And the idea that we'll only know the rates in September and we'll have to pay the bills in October is completely off the wall. And this reinforces my point. They are not customer driven.
Sean Fleming, back to what Shane Ross's contribution was to the PAC and John Barry's response. I mean, a light is being shone here, but this has been going on for decades. The same firms, the same businesses, winning government contracts, winning government tenders.
Yeah, and
why? How is that possible?
Well, IBM was one of the biggest people who won the contract, and they're an American company, and you know, Accenture, and you know, there were non-Irish companies. I know there would be an Irish-based staff in those organisations. I think we would probably be having a different conversation here tonight if all the contracts went to French and Polish and German companies, and people in town weren't being implied, and we're having people flying in to do the work that could be done by Irish people. So I just say there are two sides to every debate. I would be one of the people that if, and I use the big word, if there is the expertise, we should spend our money in Ireland, not abroad for the sake of doing it. However, I would believe that most of these should have gone through the EU tendering process, and I presume it was open to all of these people to apply. Maybe they just felt Ireland was too small a market for them or something like that. But I don't see how they would have been excluded. But I think really what Gerard is saying is the whole question of pricing and the regulator. What's very important, the listeners won't be aware of this, is that as we speak, the Irish Water have 200,000 paying customers. Mm-hmm. All the commercial users in Ireland are now paying Irish Water from the 1st of January onwards. Secondly, the regulator has not even been appointed. Have you got that now? Phil Hogan today said this was a matter for the regulator. Phil Hogan has not signed the statutory instrument to appoint the regulator to be the regulator for water services in Ireland. The regulator said he expects to be appointed in the next couple of days, and then he's going to commence the process of looking at the pricing structure. And the worrying thing from the regulator and from the public today is everybody knows that local authorities, there are different prices charged for water to commercial customers in each individual county. And I asked him, will we have one national price for all you know, the price per litre, will it be the same for the person in Dublin and Cork and Galway, or will there be different prices in each county as currently exists for commercial? And he says, I don't know. This is something that has to be, this has to be a government policy decision. You can't have people being penalised in one county because there's a higher cost structure in their own local authority. And we want to make sure there is one now. And the minister hasn't even addressed this yet.
Sharon in Kerry says, why, when it comes to the children's hospital, they can't even get it nearly started, but they can throw money all over the place for water. A similar point was made earlier today on Twitter by Senator Gillian Van Turnite in relation to the Child and Family Agency. We've another extract from this evening's PAC hearing that I want to play now, and it's to do with bonuses, another very controversial topic. And earlier in the evening, Fine Gael TD Kieran O'Donnell and the chairman of the PAC, John McGuinness of Fianna Fáil, asked John Tierney, who's chief executive of Irish Water, and John Barry, who's their programme director, about this very issue. Deputy O'Donnell asked, first of all, how the issue of bonuses had come about in the first place, and this was Mr Tierney's response.
Irish Water has been established as a subsidiary of Bord Gáis and has adopted its pay model. And there are very valid reasons for the pay model. We've talked, I suppose, a lot about technology and process, but you need the people to drive that as well. And as part of the model has gone away from the whole issue of incremental pay and includes a pay freeze as well. And that actually ends up being a lower cost model.
So there's a pay freeze until 2016, is that correct? But isn't there a contradiction where in one breach you have a pay freeze to 2016 and in the other breach you're paying bonuses? It's for the ordinary person looking in and looking for value for money. But there's a contradiction.
But very simply, it's about having the high performance utility model where you take the base rate and potential earnings based on that high performance, you will still find that Irish Water will be the lowest cost utility model in terms of the staff it will employ relative to similar grades in any other utility. And I think that's the most important point, that will be the case.
Are you comparing internationally now?
I am.
But this is, you're missing the point. How can you just, could you have come along, Mr Tierney, with your respect, from your background, we'll say, as a local authority manager, could you have not said to Bord Gáis that I believe that the model that is required here is not sufficient?
But it is absolutely understandable and understood that Irish Water, being established within Bord Gáis itself, would adopt the very same pay model as a subsidiary. And the pay model we adopted was the new model, which was agreed a couple of years ago, or last year in terms of implementation, and that's the model we're adopting. That will drive savings in comparison to other utilities.
But Mr Tierney, is there a question then that you have some employees will qualify for bonus and some will not?
No, every employee has the opportunity, based on high performance, to earn. And
Has any bonuses been paid to date?
It's based on incentivising performance and being more efficient because of that. And our staff have been in a relatively short time, and no pay scheme has been obviously paid out yet because of that, because you have to do the consideration.
Has anyone earned a bonus to date?
No.
Okay. And typically what would be the max bonus that person would earn? The minimum bonus.
I think on average last year in VG, and I think this is the information we supplied to the department before, was about 7,000 across 300 employees.
Could I just confirm, Mr Tierney, Deputy O'Donnell asked about the bonuses, and you confirmed to him that to date in the organisation, no bonus has been paid to any member of staff.
No, but there would be a contractual commitment in the 299 staff that have been recruited today that would be part of their...
I understand that, but in 20 last year.
Well, you see, the Permanent Irish Water Organisation has only commenced in terms of recruitment last year. So the first cycle of paying the performance piece does not occur until this year.
So the question again, no staff member received a bonus?
Yet, no.
Yet. But they have an entitlement to a bonus if they perform?
Based on the assessment of the performance.
And how are they performing?
Well, I can tell you, Cathaoirleach, And I think this is something that has got lost in all of what has happened in the past few days. The performance I have seen of the people in the organisation is absolutely outstanding. If you think of the targets that were set to us in relation to the metering programme, in relation to standing up the organisation by the 1st of January, when we discussed these with the English utilities, they looked at us in amazement at what was being asked of us. But people have given absolutely their all, and the people in the programme. And again, if people could have witnessed what occurred over Christmas in terms of the input of staff to make the organisation happen, to implement all these systems, I have that insight, and it's actually quite humbling to work with the people in the manner in which they did it.
John Tierney, Chief Executive of Irish Water, on the bonuses that will be paid to Irish Water staff. Outstanding work, according to John Tierney, Michael Taff. Don't they deserve a bonus?
Well, I'd just like to state, I mean, Unite represents hundreds of water service workers who would have been employed at the local authority level. They'd be craft workers. There is no question, and I think it's important to clarify to people, because a lot of people are kind of enraged about the issues that have arisen out of Irish Water, and they hear the thing, bonuses, and, you know. So it's important to point out that when they see the Irish water workers, the people on the streets working away, craft workers, operatives and all that, people who are formerly in the local authorities, they're not receiving bonuses. There's no question of pay-related, performance-related pay for these people. So, I mean, our members and workers across, water workers across the local authorities have suffered significant pay cuts, just like every other public sector worker, in some cases up to 15-18% pay cut over the last 4 years. So just to clarify that, no pay-related, performance-related pay or bonuses for you know, the overwhelming majority of people who will be working in Irish Water. Now, I don't know enough about the bonus structure that Bord Gáis Éireann operates, and therefore that the subsidiary Irish Water is going to adopt. I would just say this, and there may well be an argument, and again, it would be helpful if they would bring this forward, but it is clearly the case that Bord Gáis Éireann is an extremely efficient and profitable semi state. And when you examine just in terms of pricing, the pricing of gas, you know, in comparison with other European countries, Ireland is quite competitive in terms of its gas pricing. It's an excellent company. In fact, that's probably one of the reasons why it's so profitable and efficient. It's one of the reasons why the retail arm of Bord Gáis Éireann is being privatized. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, if they want to make that argument, fine, there may well be an argument. It would be best if that argument were actually made in public and the evidence produced.
Jim Power, Brian Hayes, and I'm paraphrasing, in an interview on Morning Ireland today, he said that the government will not allow bonuses to be paid to Irish Water staff. I mean, but we heard there from John Tierney, it's in their contracts.
Yeah, my understanding is that the government cannot impose on a commercial semi-state contracts of work. I think that's correct, isn't it? So by giving contracts that are heavily driven by bonuses, they can do that. But we will end up paying for it as consumers. You know, there's no doubt about that.
So the government can stop it?
I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so.
You agree, Sean? Yeah.
That was specifically clarified by the official from the Department of Public Expenditure at the meeting tonight. And he made it very clear that it's a matter for each commercial semi-state company to make their own arrangement. As a matter for the board, he said that the minister had written letters last year to the various line ministers, asked them not to pay bonus, but he has absolutely no role in this matter,
okay,
whatever.
Jim,
but it makes a hypocrisy out of Brian Hayes saying it's not going to happen because Brendan Howland is the minister in charge and he has no intention to do it.
You typically find that where contracts are heavily bonus driven, that they're generally, the base wage is normally quite low, okay, and then the ability to outperform and earn more exists. But in this case, if I'm correct, somebody said in one of the hearings today that the average bonus potential would be about 7,000 per worker,
yeah,
which would indicate that the average salary is 70,000. Given that the average industrial wage is 32 or 3,000, you know, 70,000 isn't exactly a low base wage. So I don't believe, you know, people in the Irish Water Company should be given bonuses for performing their job. And the more, the decision has been made to build it into contracts. So obviously it's going to be very difficult to extricate the company from that. But the bottom line is that the higher staff costs are within Irish Water, the higher water charges will be for the consumer.
Gerald Flynn.
Well, I think Brian Hayes is probably being a bit populist. Obviously, the whole concept of bonuses has taken a bashing, mainly because of the greed of people in the financial services centre who took huge bonuses, and also the confusion wrought by assistant secretaries who basically all got the same bonus and regarded it as part of their pay. And it's a complete misuse of performance management techniques. I certainly think that any of the Unite members who connect water meters or make connections, if the European average standard is 100 connections a week and some of the Unite members do 120, I think they should be well entitled to an extra bonus or a bonus payment, and that would be fairly standard. Obviously, comparing pay rates in Bord Gáis Éireann with kind of the average industrial wage is not quite. I mean, utility wages are always traditionally higher right across Europe, so you're not really comparing like with like there. But and 10%, 10% is not excessive.
Exactly, a low base wage.
No, but it would probably be in and around European utility average.
But it's not low.
And certainly not compared to the minimum wage. It's certainly not low. But it depends what comparators you want to use.
Yeah.
I mean, compared to somebody running one of the banks or a partner in a big law firm, it's relatively modest.
And Michael Taft, John Barry made the point to the committee this evening that bonuses motivate staff.
Well, that might be the case, and certainly Bord Gáis Éireann may well have a good argument that this is a better model of pay, because, as I said, they're an extremely efficient company. They are cost competitive with their European counterparts, and the fact is that water workers as a group, and this would include workers, crafts and operatives, the labour costs in Ireland are lower than most other EU 15 countries. So I take Jim's point that they are higher than the average utility workers, you know, because when you count in the skills and all that would be higher. But actually, we get a really good deal on our water workers because they cost less than their counterparts in Europe. But if I just may quickly get to the main point is we've had this kind of blow up on the media and in the Dáil committee, and the question now is how do we proceed from here? I mean, the fact is that it's been a long time since a public enterprise company has been set up in this country. We've been going in for privatizing them for the last 20 years. This is a very a complex type of thing and bringing in 34 water authorities. There are still so many questions to ask about the pricing, about, for instance, two issues. The water meters, they're supposed to be part of smart technology. But the fact is, according to the Business Post last week, households will not be able to read them. The whole point of metering is that households should be able to read and monitor their usage. The second thing, and again, I think, Gerald, you pointed out the website, which is a very poor website, but they actually make this a very incredible statement. What will happen to the quality of my water services when I start paying charges? And they said they may improve. Now, that's not likely to instill confidence in people. If they are going to pay charges, it should be the highest quality drinking water. There should be pressure, proper pressure, and there should be an end to leakages. So I think it's an opportunity to take a step back. There's no hurry to set this up. There's no hurry to bring in charges. In fact, it would be better for the economy and for households if water charges were postponed for a year or two to get all of this correct.
Okay. We have one last piece of tape to run tonight, and it's been well worth the wait. Our regular contributor, the author and comedian Colm O'Regan, has been thinking too about water from an expert's eye.
First, a confession. I was a consultant. Consultant in Ireland is an emotive word. It could mean medical consultants, a badge of honour about the fact that you are going private to get the operation done, or rage fodder when we hear they are stalling in negotiations over a six-figure salary. And then there are the consultants who are embedded in the government departments, sometimes stereotyped as sharp-suited, smooth-talking people with chiselled features, leaning over a laptop, patiently explaining something to a grateful civil servant, and then pocketing a huge wedge. Work hard, play hard, high fives, baraka. There's a bit of that, but the rest is a lot more mundane. A lot of consultants are software coders, testers, database administrators. They train end users. That's what I did anyway and told my mother I was a consultant. Then there is a layer of managers who worry, and then the head guys who talk to the senior civil servants. Consultants get brought in because the government may not have the certain skills or the time to train their own people. They can be brought in quickly and then, if necessary, got rid of quickly. They don't have to be paid a pension. They're not in a union. It's handy. Everyone uses external consultants. I've been brought in because RTE needed a particular type of spoofer for tonight's show, and hopefully I've justified my 2.5-figure salary so there won't be too much of a scandal. So far, so dull. It shouldn't make the news. In the case of Irish Water, it has. I don't know how the millions were spent. I'm hoping it was good value. What's annoying is that a brand new organisation with no hang-ups, no industrial relations issues, brand new pencils and school bags should start off in such an old-fashioned way, with lots of money spent, lack of transparency over costs, a drip feed of information, a bonus culture, a performance management process that looks a bit like upward-only rent review. Wouldn't it have been great if someone, let's call him Phil Hogan, said, right, listen up, we've a fresh start here, let's get through the first year without a scandal. Every semi-state has had a scandal. Foss once lost a raffle prize of a car. Let's be the first ones to do it right. Let's micromanage for a while. I sometimes wonder if it's a problem with attitude. The best line I can think of to finish is from a consultant, a super-duper consultant, who specialised in turning around projects that had become a hames, to use the technical term. He said, the most important thing with spending on any government project, regardless of who you are, internal or external, is to remember it's not your money. He's right. It's taxpayers' money, and you don't need a consultant to tell you that.
That was Colm O'Regan there with his insights into the controversy surrounding Irish Water. We're almost at the end of the programme. Gerald Flynn, do you get a sense that anything will change as a result of what has emerged about Irish Water and the way the whole process works over the last week or so?
Well, there'll be a few changes. One seems to be that they will be included at least under the Freedom of Information legislation. So that's probably a good idea.
But do you get a sense that anything bigger will change in terms of the culture in this country of how things are done and how processes work?
No, sadly not. I mean, we're all waiting 5 years to find out what caused the complete collapse of the economy and what's left a millstone round our neck. And we just are none the wiser. So sadly, there isn't really much hope that we're going to get any firm answers. We'll be asking the same question in 2 years' time when the general election comes around, and we still won't have any answers.
Michael, are you any more optimistic that rather than having all these people in after the event, that perhaps there'll be more forensic examination and investigation in advance?
One should be optimistic. One should be optimistic that policy in this country would be evidence-based. They would be based on facts, not on kind of an intuition or past practice, or because, well, this is the way we've all done it before. I think there's an opportunity for certainly the trade union movement. My own union will be participating in this consultation process in terms of the pricing, but for civil society organisations, local community groups and individuals to make their voice heard based on what has happened to these to date. So there is a possibility for more popular participation, but we have to grab it. We have to organise ourselves to do it. I think that it's only because of that pressure that something will change.
Michael, thank you very much indeed. Thank you all very much indeed. Just to let you know, we'll be debating the CRC. Remember that, the Central Remedial Clinic. Well, Brian Conlon is up before the Public Accounts Committee tomorrow, so we'll be debating that here on Late Debate tomorrow night. Until then, from all the team, good night.